In 2011, that of course would be last year, there was a survey that involved more than 350,000 people. This survey tried to ask a large cross-section of the American culture how religious people are in our nation. Now, when we think about that particular question, how religious are you, that word covers a lot of territory. For one person, they may say, well, yes, I'm a Jewish person, I am of the Jewish faith, and I'm religious. Another person might be of the Buddhist persuasion, and they would say, well, because of my Buddhism, I'm religious. Another person might be of the Islamic faith, the Muslim, and say because of their Islamic faith, they are religious. And certainly in our culture, we find a lot of people who believe in some form of Christianity, and they too would say that they are religious. Asking people this general question, are you religious, covers a vast amount of territory. Now, bearing that in mind, I look carefully at the results of this particular survey, and the results are sad, they're interesting, and maybe not all that surprising. Only 40% of the people in our society who were surveyed, and it was a pretty large survey, only 40% said that they are very religious. Now, that means if we take all the religions that are available in our culture, only 40% would say that they were very involved, very committed to their faith, less than half. 28% said they were moderately religious. And then approximately a third, 32%, said they are in the non-religious category. The figures associated with this particular survey, if they are even remotely correct, suggest or they remind us that we now live in a nation where the Bible, a lot of people either don't pay attention to the book or they no longer think that it is a very important or powerful book. That's a sad state. But it is, as we look at our culture, a pretty realistic assessment of where we are. Well, it may be good to go back and remind ourselves that the Bible not only exists, but it is still a very, very powerful book. Our society has changed, but God's Word has not. God's Word is still the most powerful book that has ever been written or ever will be written and or read. In fact, one of the claims that we find made about the Scriptures, one of the internal claims, is that this book is a very powerful book. We are going to deal with just one Bible passage today, and this comes from the Old Testament. You may have already turned there, Jeremiah 36, if you have a copy of the outline. There are three basic sections in Jeremiah 36, and these natural divisions are going to be what we look at. Now, these three sections are not equal in length, but they do divide the chapter into three nice points. The first section composes most of the first thought, and it's in verses 1 through 20. And this is where we have a man named Baruch reading God's word. If you turn back to Jeremiah 36, let's look at that opening verse. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from God, or Jehovah, saying. Now this initial verse mentions two things that are pretty important. First of all, we read about a king, a ruler in the nation of Israel. We also find in this opening verse a reference to Jeremiah and God's word. God had some things to say. He was giving his word in the time of this particular king. In the opening verse of Jeremiah, we find a connection between a king, a ruler, and that is God's word. Well, that's important, and that's also relevant for us in our time. Today, our society often likes to tell us that the Bible should be separate. There should be no connection between God's word and the affairs of state. In fact, we often hear politicians decrying. They would denounce any kind of connection between the Bible and society's beliefs at large. But in Jeremiah 36, in the opening verse of the chapter, we find a connection, a strong connection, between God's word and putting that information in God's word into the mind, into the hand of a national leader. This opening verse reminds us that it is God's will, God intends, for his word to permeate, to have exposure to every part of a society and culture. It is a reminder that God's word should be a regular part of our homes. It should, in some respects, permeate the workplace and even influence civil government. Our world does not like that idea. Our world openly rejects that idea in many instances. But it is God's will that his word literally go into all the world. And is that not what Jesus said in giving the Great Commission? Take it everywhere. Well, in the past, this has been done. If we go back, and we'll touch briefly on this in tonight's lesson, if we go back and we look at many of the laws in our country, a lot of the laws that we still have in the books, people didn't just come up with these out of thin air. Many of the laws that were used to form the United States were drafted from the Bible. People used the Word of God to form many of the laws that still exist in our culture. It's almost like many went to the Bible, they got the laws that would help form a nation. They used that information, and then when they got what they wanted, they said, well, let's just take God's book and let's close it and let's throw it away. We got what we wanted from him, and we don't need it anymore. That's not God's will. It was good that we used that information in the past, but now his word should continue to influence every aspect of society, including civil government. Now, in saying this, I do not want to leave the impression that we need to have an official religion for America. There is no Bible authority for something like a state-run church or something like an official government religion. We do, though, we do have a great need, when we think about God's word, for that to be out in every aspect of society to help man have the best possible place. Late yesterday, I talked to a lady in Fort Wayne. She's been in the public school system in Fort Wayne for probably about 30 years. And she looked tired. And I said, well, you're probably thinking about retirement, are you not? And she said, I am. She said, it is a jungle. It's a zoo out there in the public school system. She said, you would not believe how much things have changed in the past 3 decades. And I can't wait to leave behind the public environment as far as the school system in Fort Wayne, at least the school where she is. Well, it's God's will for his word to make it into every aspect of society. That was God's will in Jeremiah's day and time. But Jeremiah was in a situation where the higher powers in his culture didn't like that idea very much. We're going to see in a little bit that God's word came under attack in this situation just like it does today. Well, whether people like it or not, God's word is to be taken out into society and put before the world. Now, as we think about that, we then turn our attention to what's said in Jeremiah 36, verse 2, that next verse. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. There is this scribe, Baruch, and he was told to record all the words that God said. God said, I've got some words for Israel, I've got some words for Judah, and even all the pagan nations that are around. God said, I've got some information that needs to be communicated. God wanted this information written down so there would be a hard copy of what he said. There are some times in our life where we skip some words. It may be that we pick up a newspaper and there's an article that's of limited interest to us and we scan that particular article. Or it may be that we get an email and we just sort of skim it. We look at several of the words and get the general gist, but we don't read every single word. Or it may be that as we listen to a conversation, we sort of half listen. We pick up, you know, every other word or the gist of what someone is saying. But God's word, as we see from Jeremiah 36, 2, it is so important that God says we do not want to overlook any part of it. God said it was time to write down his word, and God said, I want you to write down all the words, every single word. God's word is so powerful that we do not want, God tells us not to leave out any part of it. We're not going to look at the passage. It will be outside of Jeremiah 36. But we remember one time that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from God. All right, thus far we've seen the importance of having the Bible in society and the need to pay attention to every word that God has given. In the third verse, as we think about God's word, especially the power of it, we come to an additional point that we want to make mention of. It may be that the houses of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may turn every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God gave his word, that powerful word, because he believed that this word that was going through Jeremiah had the power to change people. This is one of the reasons why God has continued to give his word to man throughout time. We live in a time where people look at another individual and they often say, well, I'd like that person to change. I'd like that person to alter his ways. It may be a husband. He looks at his wife and says, I sure wish she'd change. Or it may be a wife. She looks at her husband and says, there are some things I've talked to him. I've told him, and I would really like him to change his ways. Children sometimes look at their parents and say, I wish mom or dad or both would change their ways or their ideas. Parents sometimes want change from their children. The world knows the value of having people change. And oftentimes the world struggles with somehow motivating people, figuring out how to get people to change. Well, the world has its ways. Sometimes the world will try to change people by issuing prescription drugs. Or maybe they'll say, you need counseling, you need therapy. And if we just have someone talk to you and encourage you enough, then you're going to change. And in some cases, the world will threaten people so that they will change. The Bible says in Jeremiah 36 that God's word is powerful enough to cause people to change. And not just change, but to change for the better. To change in the way where people have the best possible life. God says that when people listen to his word and they respond, they change in the right way. God says it is at that point that I can offer forgiveness. God said to the people in his day, to the people in our day, if you're willing to come to me, if you're willing to accept my powerful word, if you're willing to change, I will allow you to receive forgiveness. Every single wrong, God said, could be wiped away. That's still true for people today. The way we get that forgiveness is found in the scriptures, which for us would not be the Old Testament that we have here. For us, it would be the New Testament. The second section in Jeremiah 36 shifts the reader's attention to how God's powerful word was dealt with by this king. God had given his word. He wanted this word, all of his information, to go forth to various people. It is in this chapter that this information was communicated to the king that was described. And verse 21, moving down there, it tells us how this king and how others dealt with God's word. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama the scribe. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes that stood beside the king. Today, when people hear some part of God's word, when it's read, when it's taught, they usually have some kind of reaction to it. And that's always been true. Whether it was the Old Testament that people heard, or today if it's the New Testament that people hear, when that information from God is given, people react to it. In some cases, the reaction is positive. People hear that word and they say, I'm curious, I'm interested, tell me more. We want to discuss what has been presented to us. And then there's some others who hear part of God's word and they say, oh, we're not interested. Has no appeal to us, we don't want to hear, we're kind of a carefree spirit and we're fine doing what we're doing, thinking what we're thinking. And then there's the category of person that hears God's word, and as they hear that word, their heart is hardened. They get angry. They rebel. They get very, very upset. About 30 years ago, as I was thinking about this material, I tried to talk to a family member about some things that are discussed in the Bible, some things that were important to him. And he got mad, got angry. And in the 30 years that have followed, we've probably spoken 3 or 4 times. Now that man, that relative, is on his deathbed. I don't know how much longer he has to live. And his beliefs concerning the Bible, if the scriptures tell the truth, they're not going to leave him in a good relationship with God when he leaves this life. But when I think about people getting angry in my own family, had situations where people have been exposed to some part of the Word of God, and I will not believe that, I do not believe that, I don't want to talk about that. Well, that doesn't change what God said. Doesn't change that for my relative. And it certainly did not change things for this particular king. This king really did not like what he heard. In the 22nd verse of Jeremiah 36, we're told that this lesson was in the fall of the year. I thought, well, this is kind of a strange thing for a preacher to preach a fall sermon in the spring. But that's what we're doing. It was the fall of the year. And because it was the fall of the year, things were cool. There was a fire that was going. Just as people today use a fire to get some warmth during a cold time of the year, such was true in ancient times. And the king that's described in this story, the king that was reading God's word, tried to destroy the word of God that had come through Jeremiah 23. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, we might say pages, that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was burning in the brazier until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Or hearth might be the word that you have in your particular translation. God's word, as it was read, he went ahead and cut this up. We might say page by page. He heard the information, he didn't like it, and sliced it and diced it. And after the king had taken that little knife and cut up God's word, there was that fire that was burning in the hearth area, and he literally burned God's word. Earlier I said God's word is powerful. Here we see an example of just how powerful the scriptures are. In this particular story, God's word was powerful enough that a king listened to it. In this day and time, kings had a great deal of power and authority. If they wanted, they had the ability to say, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to be exposed to that information. Just have somebody executed, and we're not going to listen to you, the message, or the messenger. But in this particular case, God's word was powerful enough where a messenger was able to get the information to the king, and he listened to it. In addition to listening to this message, God's word, as far as the power, is also illustrated by the fact that the king reacted to it and reacted very strongly. He did not simply say, well, stop reading. He did not simply say, well, I'm going to disregard the information. God's word was powerful enough where this man took a knife and he literally chopped up God's word as it was read. And if that was not enough, he then decided that he was going to burn the scriptures that had been read in his hearing. And then as we look at verse 24 of this chapter, we find another interesting detail. And the story continues. And they were not afraid, that is, the king and the others who were listening. nor did they rent or tear their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Here is this king, here are the servants, they're, the king at least is cutting up God's word. It's being burned, and these people have no fear. There's no concern about destroying God's word. These people, as they hear God's word, they are openly rebellious to the information, just like many today. In verse 25, which we'll not read, we find there that this king was begged to not burn the scroll. Oh, don't do that, king. But the king, of course, refused to listen. Jeremiah 36 tells us that God's word is powerful enough where it will push people to make some kind of decision. There will be some people who, like this king, will harden their heart. They will say, we will not listen. We will not respond. For whatever reason, we are not going to receive God's word favorably. There will, though, on the other hand, be some people who, as they are exposed to God's word, their heart is going to soften. They're going to be reached. Their soul is going to be pierced. And they're going to say, like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, what must we do to right our relationship with God? God's word is like a sword. It pierces people and affects them and drives them in one way or another. In addition to destroying the scroll, the king also said, I want these guys arrested. Baruch and Jeremiah, I want you to go out and find these guys, and I want you to arrest them. This word, as it was presented to this king, it forced him to make a decision where he essentially decided to make war with God. Well, God has sent forth his word throughout time. And throughout the generations, people have responded to God's word in various ways. Some have loved it. Loved it to the point where they've died for it. Others, as we mentioned earlier, have treated it with indifference. And some, like this king, have decided that they're going to try to destroy it. The Bible is so powerful that men cannot stop it. They may try to stomp it out, they may try to eliminate it, but the scriptures continue to exist in the world and continue to influence people. So as we get to this point in Jeremiah 36, we essentially come to what we might refer to as round two. Staying with the same chapter, but now looking at verse 27. Then the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words of Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, God knew that his word that had been given up to this point had been destroyed. When a man decides to make war with God, the man is always going to lose. Even if the whole world decides to make war with God, they're still going to lose. God was able to make another copy of his word, and as we look at verse 28 in this chapter, we find that is exactly what was done. God said, take thee another roll. Get another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. God said, I want you to make an exact copy. I'm going to give you all the words that were cut up, all the words that were burned in the fire. You're going to have a replica of what you had before. And then God said, I've got something else to tell you. The information that we find in verse 32, then took Jeremiah another scroll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, and wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and, notice that, and there were added besides unto them many like words. Here is another riveting example of God's powerful word. God said, I'm going to replicate everything that's been destroyed. But in addition to that, I'm going to add a lot of additional information. Well, this point is still relevant for our day and time. People sometimes have a great hatred for God's word, and they want to stomp it out, and they want to get rid of it. They try to destroy it. But the Bible, and this may not be the best illustration, but the Bible is just like weeds in our yards and gardens. We may go out there and think we've pulled all the weeds up. But you know, when we start looking over here and over here, we find that we were not successful. There's still some weeds in the garden. And people have been able to destroy copies of God's word throughout the century. Some have chopped it up. Some have shredded it. Some have torn pages out. Sometimes people have burned it. Sometimes people have thrown it in the trash dump. People have done all kinds of things with the scriptures. But they have not been able to eliminate God's word from this world. And the Bible promises that that will never happen. God's word will always be here. Even if our world chose to devote all of its time, talent, and resources to this one task, God says it would fail. Throughout the ages, a lot of the information that our world has treasured has been lost. A lot of, great and important works no longer last. But the Bible will never, ever be a lost book. It may be in some respects, as we mentioned from the initial survey, it may be in many respects a neglected book, and we see that sadly, but it will never ever become a lost book. For those who choose to neglect or reject the Bible, they make a very, very bad choice. As we look at the final verses from this chapter, verses 29 through 31, we find that this king who tried to destroy God's word did not fare very well. And concerning Jehoiakim, God said, King of Judah, thou shalt say this. Thus saith Jehovah, thou hast burned this roll. God says, I know how you've treated my word. I know you've burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy the land, and shall cause to cease from thence men and beasts. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. God said, you want to make war with me? That's okay. He said, I'll respond to you, and this is what I'll do. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. God gave his word because he's serious about communicating with men. And we have the ability to either believe that word and respond to that in love and obedience, or we can turn from that word by indifference or outright rejection. But God in that word warns us. He said, if you make those latter two choices, he said, if you choose to neglect me or if you choose to reject me, God says, it's not going to be a favorable end. This man experienced some terrible things in life and presumably in eternity, but it didn't have to be that way. God gave his word, and after this man rejected it, God made his word available again, but he refused to repent. This morning, we trust you are someone who is here because you don't want to destroy the scriptures. You believe that God gave them, and you want to live by them. You want to have that promise of eternal life. If that's your desire, two simple questions. Number one, have you become a Christian according to what we find in the scriptures? And number two, are you living, are you trying to live the Christian life? Well, the first question is easy enough to answer. If you know that the Bible requires faith, Hebrews 11:6, and the Bible says there has to be a turning from sin, that's called repentance, Luke 13:3, and you're willing to confess that Christ is the Lord, the Bible says you can take the last step. That step is baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of sins. Like we read about in Jeremiah 36, the sins could have been forgiven. Today, sins are forgiven by being baptized in the Lord, Acts 2:38 and 22:16. And once we've done that, then we continue to turn to God's word on a daily basis to make sure that we're living a life that conforms to the scriptures. That's God's plan for us. And we hope that it's the plan that you're following. But if you're someone in the past who it may not have been to the same extent of Jeremiah 36, but there was God's word and you decided I'm going to shut it, and I'm just either going to neglect it or reject it. I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't exist. You can do that for a while, but one day we'll have to answer for that choice. This morning, if you need to be obedient to God's word by becoming a Christian or being restored as a child of God, we let us know how we can aid you in that way as we stand and sing the selected song.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, for he will not turn thee away. Calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Calling today, Jesus. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Be seated, please.